I'm John Krall. As people live longer, figuring out how they should care for themselves through different stages of life becomes a greater challenge. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about long-term care insurance. We're going to talk about what it is, who needs it, and how they should get it. We'll discuss all of this with our guests, Rebecca Vaughn of the Indiana Long-Term Care Insurance Partnership Program, Teresa Egan, a long-term care specialist, agent, and instructor, and Twyla Steck, area manager with the State Health Insurance Assistance Program. Please join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, emailing us at nolimits@wfyi.org, or sending a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now, the day's news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about long-term care insurance. Fortunate to have as our guests Rebecca Vaughn, who is the program director for the Indiana Long-Term Care Insurance Partnership Program. That is a mouthful, Rebecca. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Good afternoon. Thanks for inviting me.
It's good to have you here. Teresa Egan, who is a long-term care specialist, agent, and instructor. Teresa, glad to have you here today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thanks. And Twyla Steck, who is the area manager for the State Health Insurance Assistance Program.
Hello, Twyla. And I'm glad to be here, too.
It's good to have you here. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can send a comment or a question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, I'm going to start. One of the things they pay me for here is to ask the basic questions so that other people don't have to sound foolish. What I'd like to start with, and I'll start with you, Rebecca Vaughn, could you give someone an easy definition of what long-term care insurance is?
Well, what it's not is health insurance. It's not health insurance. Long-term care insurance are services and supports that you may need to cope with activities of daily living because you've had some medical or mental deterioration that you're not able to do that without assistance. Perhaps maybe you're not able to bathe yourself or eat or do some light housekeeping or chores because you've had some issue. And it may just be for a short time and not necessarily, for the rest of your life.
So I understand the distinction here. It's not something that that pays for a specific medical procedure or anything like that. It's more providing for ongoing care once you're not able to take care of yourself in certain situations. Twyla Steck, I see you nodding your head, so I'll go with you next.
It's personal care, usually, when people just get older and more frail and can't do the activities of daily living, dressing and bathing, that kind of thing, and perhaps need to be in a nursing home or have home care.
So is it a way, and I'll bring Teresa Egan into the conversation here too then, is it a way to help pay for say, nursing homes or other forms of care that aren't directly doctor-supervised or anything like that?
Exactly. Nursing home, assisted living, home health care, adult day services.
Okay. Well, then let's talk a little bit about, I'll stick with you, Teresa, about who are the people who need this, who need to be thinking about it? And we'll start with that. I mean, what is the proper time to start considering this?
Well, federal government tells us that 70% of us will someday need long-term care services. So a lot of people say starting at age 40 is reasonable. But most of the people who seriously look at long-term care insurance are in their 50s, maybe early 60s.
So it sounds like it's one of those signposts once you get to middle age that you ought to start thinking about it. Are there particularly, I hate to say it, high risk areas or people, you know, in some situations that ought to consider it, other than sort of blanketly saying anyone at age 40 ought to take a look at it? Are there particular groups that matter? I'll go back to you, Rebecca Vaughn.
Well, in particular, if you have any sort of family history mental deterioration, Alzheimer's, or serious illnesses, maybe like Parkinson's or multiple sclerosis, something like that. that certainly would be an individual that would want to give it some serious consideration. But anyone really that is concerned about their future health, and will they have enough money or assets to choose those types of healthcare places and make those decisions that they want to.
Well, and it, I'm presuming, obviously, since you know your long mouthful of a title indicates that you are the Indiana Long-Term Care Insurance Partnership Program Program Director. What does that program do? What services do you provide?
Well, the state does not provide long-term care insurance policies. That's those types of things are from insurance companies. What the state does, we certainly want to encourage individuals to think, you know, long-term planning, plan for the future for those types of services that they might need. The partnership program is a collaboration between state, between government and industry and consumers about promoting awareness of long-term care and encouraging people to think about long-term care insurance as far as financing those needs.
Do you help people evaluate various programs or approaches to long-term care?
I do. I do. I get a lot of calls from people wanting to know different things to look for, so I try and help point them in the right direction, give them enough information that they can have some level of education or to go out and talk to their financial advisor or long-term care professional about their particular needs.
And what are some of the things that people should look for?
In a policy, what you need to look for are a number of different things. How long you think you might need those benefits, your age and your health status, different benefits to select, elimination period. Those are all a number of important factors to consider. So long-term care services or insurance is not just a matter of picking benefits in an insurance policy. It's a whole range of future discussions that you need to have with your family about your future and your financial future and your health and those types of things.
What, Twyla Stack, please.
We have at SHIP a packet of information that helps people decide how vulnerable they are and what they may need. And we have a tool called the Self-Assessment Guide. And if they go through that and answer all the questions, at the end they will have a pretty good idea if they can afford it and if it's something they need to look into further. Our counselors can help them go through that.
Feel free to give a phone number.
Okay.
To help people know.
1-800.
Yeah, I mean, the goal here is obviously to help people make decisions.
This is just a really good packet of information. And you get it by calling 1-800-452-4800 and just ask for the long-term care packet. And it has that self-assessment guide. It has a list of all of our 100 offices throughout the state. And the phone numbers, and we are free. We're part of the government and also the Department of Insurance. And we do provide a lot of information. We won't tell people exactly what to do, but we'll lay it out for them so they can make good, informed decisions. And again, that's 1-800-452-4800, and it's free.
Is there also a URL, a website that people
yes,
could go to?
See, what is www.medicare.in.gov.
Do that again.
www.medicare.in.gov.
Okay. We are talking about long-term care insurance here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, we're talking obviously about what is a. I found it interesting when we talk about long-term care insurance and we talk about what it is, we start by defining what it isn't instead. Like it's a somewhat complicated concept. And, you know, in terms of boiling down who needs it, it sounds like it's pretty much anyone who is 40 at least ought to do an evaluation. What are some of the signposts, though, once you get to 40, if you're using that evaluation tool, You know, is there an income level or a retirement level below which that you, it's pretty much a slam dunk that you should do it? I'll toss that one to you, Teresa Egan.
Well, certainly discretionary income plays a huge part in whether, as Twyla said, people can afford it. But it just becomes part of retirement planning, financial planning.
Mm-hmm.
We do a needs evaluation, is how we work.
Mm-hmm.
And through that needs evaluation, we can look at individual priorities and concerns, what people want their future to be like. Is estate planning important to them? Is guaranteed asset protection important, which is what the partnership program can provide? So after we do that analysis, then we're better able to make recommendations of benefits that might fit their needs.
I guess where I'm trying to go with this is get a ballpark. Like, presumably, Bill Gates does not need long-term care.
We're told that Bill Gates has long-term care insurance.
He does?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's scary that he doesn't think he's going to be able to pay for his care down the line.
That might be
something about what the demand might be.
He might. I don't know what his thought process was. It could be that he thought that was a good investment versus paying out $70,000, $100,000 a year. You know, if you needed nursing home care, or, you know, versus just paying a yearly, much smaller yearly premium.
Yeah. Okay, well, then that takes away. How many people then, the other way to approach this is to say, of the people, if we're saying federal government estimates 70% of Americans should have long-term care insurance, who are the 30% who don't need it? I mean, the folks that that shouldn't be concerned. I guess where I'm trying to do is give the listeners out there some idea of whether this is something that, you know, has really slipped by them or not. Rebecca Vaughn?
Well, I think that the 70% is 70% of people will need some level of long-term care services. And a lot of times when you say long-term care, people are thinking automatically nursing home. But it could just be some temporary assistance in your home, like preparing meals or running errands. So just about everybody, you know. And if you have concerns about when you have the finances to take care of those issues, then I think everybody has that concern.
Well, how many people, the other way, I guess, to slice this would be, of the folks who, of that 70%, how many people out there currently have long-term care insurance?
The figure is, the figure is said to be that for individuals over the age of 65, we're looking at about 11% of the population. So not near as many people as probably should be looking at it.
So a full 59% who should have it don't have it right now. And that assumes that all of those 11%, I'm still a little skeptical that Bill Gates really needs it. But that's, that's neither here nor there.
I think one misconception on that is that Medicare will pay for long-term care type of services. It does very limited and very restricted. So that, I think, is a big misconception that a lot of people have.
It is. When we do presentations, we find that people think Medicare is going to cover this, and no, Medicaid will, but only after they use all their resources.
So that's part of, and I guess that's where I'm going, and I think, Rebecca, you alluded to this earlier, that it is a question really about financial decision-making going forward. Teresa said this as well, that that it's about asset management as well, that to get to Medicaid, you really have to bleed your estate completely down. And that means presumably you've got nothing to pass on to your heirs, your children, your descendants.
Exactly. That's not a proposition that most of us
welcome. No, that's one of the things we all work for. We're talking about long-term care insurance here on No Limits. You are welcome to join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. My guests today are Rebecca Vaughn, who is the Program Director of the Indiana Long-Term Care Insurance Partnership Program, Teresa Egan, who is a long-term care specialist, agent, and instructor, and Twyla Steck, who is the Area Manager for the State Health Insurance Assistance Program. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about long-term care insurance. Fortunate to have as our guest Rebecca Vaughn, who is program director with the Indiana Long-Term Care Insurance Partnership Program, Teresa Egan, who is a long-term care specialist, agent, and instructor, and Twyla Steck, who is the area manager for the State Health Insurance Assistance Program. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We've gotten a question from a listener who says, how many insurance companies offer long-term care insurance? Teresa Egan, is it a fairly common thing, or is it a different?
I would say in the state of Indiana, maybe 20, 30 companies. Does that sound right, Becky?
So it's relatively broad. You're going to have a range of options, presumably.
Correct. There are 8 of the partnership companies. You said you wanted to talk a little bit about partnerships.
Yeah, well, and that's really where I was going to go with this. Is that part of what, Rebecca Vaughn, could you talk a little bit about what the partnership is?
Sure.
And how it's structured?
Partners in Indiana, there's 2 kinds of long-term care policies that you can purchase, what I call a traditional policy and partnership. They both work the same way. They pay for all those same things, nursing home, assisted living, home health. A partnership policy just has more consumer protections built in the policy than maybe a traditional policy does. And one of the important consumer protections in the partnership is this idea of asset protection, meaning that as a last resort, if you've used up your insurance benefits and you may have to look to go onto Medicaid, with Medicaid, you have to really spend down your assets to qualify. But if you would have a partnership policy, you do not have to spend down your assets, and you can keep those assets and still be able to go on to Medicaid. And the interesting thing about that, there is no additional premium or charge for that asset protection. It's rather just the state's way of saying, well, we appreciate your forward thinking in buying a long-term care policy. And because of that, hopefully, if in the event that you would have to apply to Medicaid, we're not further going to make you impoverish yourself by doing that.
Is there any kind of qualification or anything like that? If I'm just a citizen of Indiana, am I automatically eligible to use that service?
It's an insurance policy, and you go through underwriting with the insurance company, and just like you do with a traditional policy. And also now there is portability with a partnership policy. You know, if you have an insurance policy, so it's good in whatever state that you live in. But now with under some federal legislation, if perhaps maybe you had moved to Florida and retire and use up your insurance benefits and may need to go on to Medicaid, there is a very good chance that Florida Medicaid would also honor that asset protection, and you could go on to Florida Medicaid and still have your assets protected.
We are talking about long-term care insurance here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Aj Shalom, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing very well. Your question, please.
Well, I have actually a comment. I'm an insurance agent from New York Life here in Carmel, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And my comment is that what I see with the clients and prospects that come in is that usually they have the notion that it's too expensive, so they really didn't look at it. That's the first thing. And then when finally they come and do serious retirement planning, trying to figure out how to distribute the assets that they accumulated, one of the things they realize is that there is this big hole in their retirement plan, which is the risk of needing long-term care. It's going to devastate their retirement plan. Mm-hmm. The problem is that at that point, the cost of insurance for them is very, very high. So a lot of times they just feel it's prohibitive. or they pay the price and it's cost them a lot of money. But the other problem is that a lot of times they just don't have the health to qualify because the insurance company won't take the risk. So that's one comment that I had. The other comment that I had is that in terms of partnership, even though you get the protection for your assets, really once you utilize the money for the insurance, even though your assets are protected, you are basically limited to use only Medicaid facilities, and that's not necessarily the most pleasant experience that someone wants to have when they have assets that they can pay for the long-term care, but now the only choice that they have is really using Medicaid facilities.
Thank you very much for the call. We'll take this up. Thank you. Well,
thank you.
I'll start with Teresa Egan on this one. First, let's take the latter point first, which was latter comment that you're only eligible for, I think, Medicaid facilities, if that's a fair boiling down of his point. Is that the case? Because it would give some people pause if that's the case.
Well, according to the Indianapolis Star, 90% of all nursing facilities do take Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I guess I would say we can't control who's going to go to Medicaid someday. I can't control that, whether they have a non-partnership policy, a partnership, whether they don't have insurance at all. We can't control whether someone's going to have to go to Medicaid someday. But if someone does end up on Medicaid, then they will have to accept, yes, whatever Medicaid services are at the time. And we don't know in the future what that's going to be exactly.
Please, go ahead. No, please continue, Teresa.
With partnership-protected assets, a person could, if they're in a Medicaid facility, if they do go on Medicaid, they could pay the difference and go to a private room. Medicaid pays for some of a private room, but you could pay the difference because since you have protected assets, you have money to spend if you want. You also could pay for someone to provide extra services. So with a partnership policy, you still, I think, have a lot more control than you would have if you had a non-partnership policy or didn't do anything at all. We can't control whether people go to Medicaid.
Okay, Rebecca Vaughn, you look like you wanted to jump in and say something here too.
That's maybe a little bit of a misconception on the partnership policies. That does not mean that you have to go on to Medicaid. Partnership policy, besides just giving you more consumer protections, does give you more choices. And so if you use all your benefits up, as Teresa said, you still have assets that you could use for different choices. So you do not have to go to a Medicaid facility if you have a partnership policy. That's not a requirement.
Well, and we've got a link question from another listener to, I think, Eshalom's first point. And this question is just simply, what if your insurer decides to drop its long-term care insurance plan? What protections do you have then? I think that was part of what he was getting to, is that there can be exposure even if you've done everything right going forward. Are there options, Teresa Egan?
Well, it is health insurance. Mm-hmm. There is a rider that you can purchase to give a return of premiums paid, but it is a form of health insurance, sort of extended health insurance in a way. Mm-hmm. It's just like health insurance, car insurance, any other insurance. You contribute. Hope you don't ever have to use those benefits. Hope you don't have the catastrophe. But if you do, then that benefit is there. Everybody pools that their own risk into one pool.
We are talking about long-term care insurance here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Rev, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you. I understand that it's not a health insurance. It's really part of the life insurance industry. And what's troubling is that many life insurance companies are nervous about it, and have many big name companies have actually left the market. I understand, this was reviewed on the Diane Rehm show recently, this subject. They spoke about lump sum life insurance policies where you have to have a big lump sum, and then the life insurance policy also has a long-term care adjunct to it. I understand this product is now considered by many professionals as being too expensive for most people. $200,000 a year or more, it seems is the number that I've heard, and so it's not surprising that rich people are buying it.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the points and questions. It seems like the whole thing ought to focus, too, on the elder care attorneys and coaching people and trying to arrange things for them to work, so that they understand what's going to happen if they, in fact, end up in that situation without long-term care insurance. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call, Rip. Well, Teresa, I think a lot of these are coming your way, but we'll keep
okay.
this one going there, too. Thank
That's
you.
Fine. He's referring to hybrids.
Okay.
When you have a life or an annuity product that
okay.
has
and
a backup.
Before, because this is complicated, let's talk about what a hybrid is.
A hybrid is a life product, and technically, again, long-term care insurance is a health product. Federal government says it's a health product. A hybrid is a life insurance or an annuity product that has a rider or part of it that will pay for long-term care.
Okay. And are there circumstances in which one should look at that rather than long-term care insurance, or?
It's marketed generally to be for people over the age of 60, which we would suggest people look earlier, younger, mm-hmm. at long-term care insurance. So age 60 and people of high net worth.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest issues that could be a possibility with a hybrid is the lack of inflation protection. 96% of hybrids are sold without any inflation protection. You know, in 30 years, today cost of care may be $6,000, but in 30 years, it's going to be $26,000. So without inflation protection, I mean, if it keeps going up the way it is. So without inflation protection, that's an awful lot for a person to have to pay out-of-pocket difference. So a person who buys a hybrid, I think, needs to have a lot of net worth, the ability to pay the difference in the future.
Okay, I'm approaching this now, and I'm trying to visualize myself as a listener out there.
Okay.
With all of this, and where I'm going, I'm thinking, oh my gosh.
Lots of options.
Lots of options. They're all complicated, and mm-hmm. you know, no offense, many of them seem to involve math. So you know, your
yeah.
head is spinning. Rebecca Vaughn or Twyla Steck, where do people go to sort through this? I mean, are there places they can go to, you know, places that the state provides assistance or guidance to say, okay, this might be the best fit for you? I'll start with you, Rebecca, and then go to Twyla.
Yeah, the state is, you know, I'm very eager to help people and give them some direction. Phone number is my Rebecca Vaughn, Department of Insurance, 317-232-2187. I'd be glad to talk to anyone that has questions.
Go ahead and give them the number again.
Rebecca Vaughn, 317-232-2187.
And do you mind getting emails from them? Or?
No, not at all. My email is rvaughn, that's V as in Victor, A-U-G-H-A-N, at I-D-O. I.in.gov.
I'm not going to ask you to repeat that again. So, in terms of that, they can start just by calling you. Is there a place that is sort of a basic primer on the state's website where they could go to get some information?
The partnership we have a website, and there's a booklet called What You Should Know About Long-Term Care. I think is an excellent starting point. It answers some questions and is a good basis for an education, and that way a person, once they do meet with their financial planner or their elder law attorney or long-term care professional, will be much more prepared to know what questions to ask.
And Twyla Steck.
I think our self-assessment guide, which is also done with you guys at the partnership office, is an excellent way to start. It's more basic and easy to understand, and then they can go into the more sophisticated things like the hybrid system after that. But it's 20 pages now, I think, and after a person fills that out, they should pretty well know whether or not this is something they want to pursue farther.
So it sounds like it's probably something to do in the evening sometime when if it's 20 pages, you've got to set aside an hour and a half. It's
yeah, there's some financial stuff, but there are questions like, do you have family support?
Mm-hmm.
How would your kids feel about you living with them? How would you feel about living with them?
Living
that
with
kind
children.
Of thing. Do you even have children close by that could help? And that kind of thing. It's a simpler, more basic, I think, start.
So it gets into family dynamics, as too. It's an emotional counseling. We've gotten an email that's sort of on this point from a listener named Ann, who says, it would be wonderful to be able to afford long-term care insurance, but it is impossibly expensive, especially when my husband and I are responsible for the lifetime care of a disabled adult child. For myself only, when I checked a year ago, it was more than $100 a month. I am just 53. Teresa Egan, I'll throw that one back at you. Is that an accurate number, or are there more affordable options out there?
Well, to really do something meaningful that'll make a difference in the future and from now into the future, again, a policy, I think, really needs to have inflation protection, which adds to the cost. I ran some numbers for, and these are realistic numbers. This is not leaving out the important things. But just of some numbers I've ran even for clients recently.
And just real quickly, what are the important things that people sometimes leave out? When you say something like that, it piques my curiosity.
To me, the most important thing that sometimes people forget is inflation protection. They just have to have inflation protection. Cost of care continues to go up at approximately 5% a year. So we've got to address that, or otherwise in the future, the benefits could be meaningless. An appropriate daily or monthly benefit that fits their needs. Elimination period, which is a deductible, that's appropriate. But range of costs, I came up with something meaningful between, for age 45, $1,755 a year, $1,755 a year, up to and through maybe $3,116. To me, that's a realistic range for that age. For age 55, a range may be over $2,000 a year, up to maybe $3,700 a year. I mean, somewhere in that range is
so
realistic.
Let's assume you're making $50,000 a year, and I'm doing that just because the math is relative. Pick that number because the math is relatively easy. Then you're looking at somewhere between, three and a half and 6.5% of your gross income would have to go to pay for this. That's a fairly significant slice. I can see why a lot of people. Are there any ways to bring those costs down? Anything on the horizon to do that? Rebecca Vaughn.
We'll talk about the price. Yes, that it can be a significant part of your budget. But also, if you did not have any other resource, if you did not have long-term care insurance, then you're probably, if you're looking at a nursing home, it's $5,000 to $6,000 a month. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge part, a significant factor.
Yeah, that goes through that $50,000 and leaves you about 4 months short, right?
Right. Well, you can always have the conversation with your kids and their wives or their spouses, will you be taking me in?
Well, and it gets beyond, I guess, to some degree, because it's separated, as we've said, from the question of health insurance. But there's even a question then, will your children be competent to provide the kind of care that you need at that point? Twyla Stead.
Yes, I think everybody should also know about the spousal impoverishment protection law, which does reserve income and assets for the spouse at home when the other one needs to be in the nursing home and go on Medicaid. So it's not like it was in the olden days when the spouse that was in the community had to move in with relatives and fend for herself. Usually it was the woman. So I think they should know about that. That brochure is also in our packet.
We are talking about long-term care insurance here on No Limits today. You are welcome to join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. I'm John Kroll. I'm talking with Rebecca Vaughn, who is with the Indiana Long-Term Care Insurance Partnership Program, Teresa Egan, who is a long-term care specialist, agent, and instructor, and Twyla Stack, who is area manager of the State Health Insurance Assistance Program. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about long-term care insurance today. My guests are Rebecca Vaughn, who is the program director for the Indiana Long-Term Care Insurance Partnership Program, Teresa Egan, who is a long-term care specialist, agent, and instructor, and Twyla Steck, who is the area manager for the State Health Insurance Assistance Program. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We actually have gotten a tweet, it looks like, from a listener who says, as the baby boom generation prepares to retire, do employers currently offer or plan to offer long-term coverage as part of a pension or other program? Teresa Egan, I'll start with you, and then we will take it around the horn.
Okay. There are some employers. More employers are starting to offer long-term care insurance. Sometimes it's a guaranteed issue. Sometimes it isn't. It's oftentimes, if it's offered in an employer setting, then there's not a specific person for someone to sit down and talk with. So doing individual research could be real important. And again, to me, inflation protection is really, really important. People need to make sure that they look for that kind of benefit in those type of plans.
And Rebecca Vaughn.
That is one trend that we're seeing more of. Another trend that we're seeing is a lot of adult children are having the conversation with their parents and going together. And, of course, the parents have to qualify for a long-term care policy, but the adult children then are paying the premium. As much maybe affordable for, if you have two or three siblings, to pay.
To spread the cost.
To spread the cost than it is for the parents. Or even cheaper than having to add on additional wing onto the house to bring in the parents as well. So.
And the wear and tear and all of that that sure. might come with it. Twyla Steck.
I think they still have that cafeteria insurance the companies do where you can pick different things to add on, and one of them would be long-term care insurance.
We are talking about long-term care insurance here on No Limits. Elizabeth, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. Your question, please.
Yes, I have two, sort of.
Okay.
First of all, my husband and I are both 65 already, and I was sort of wondering about if it's too late. When we did Medicare secondary insurance, the agents brought this up. Husband didn't want to having to do with it. I don't know exactly why, but I think he thinks his retirement is really, really robust. But that brings up the second thing is that he doesn't have a crystal ball. No one does. I've already had two major surgeries, and so, I mean, and so nothing has been discussed so far on the program about, because I think that you were saying something about, well, you take the assessment, and do you think you're going to need this, that, and the other thing? Well, there's the crystal ball issue again. How would I know? I'm in good health now. We qualified. But he's not wanting to think about it. He's having a good time with his retirement, and he's got his head in the sand, I think.
Well, I'll tell you, why don't we start with that sort of premise. How do you, Teresa Egan, work with a situation like that where you have one spouse who sees this as a priority and one who might not? And I will say, Elizabeth, we're not going to try to resolve the issue for you here on the air. But we'll, yeah, I know, that would make life easier for you. But we will try to get some more information.
Well, and maybe it's a comfort, Elizabeth, to know that that's fairly common. And it usually is the man who doesn't want to think about seeing a future where he may need help, where he can't be in control of things.
You're not suggesting that men have control issues.
No, I'm not.
Right?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
And not to be too blunt, I apologize in advance if it is, but, you know, the federal government says, again, that 70% of us are going to need some kind of long-term care at some point in our lives. And the bottom line is, how do we want to pay for it? You know, most of us are going to have to answer that question. How do you want to pay for your long-term care? And, you know, the choices are pretty much you pay for it with income and assets, or you have some kind of long-term care insurance. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Is some of this the pushback on this? I mean, obviously, we've heard one thing, that the people are saying that the cost is you know, daunting. And
sure.
Given the numbers that we've tossed out, I can see why it would be daunting for people. But is some of it also you just, you know, and I'll say for myself, I guess I'm going to confirm the stereotype of you know, of men here or whatever. I can accept, you know, the fact that I need health insurance and all of that, and I will accept that. The idea, though, of just being so incapacitated that I couldn't tie my own shoes or do things like that is just not something I really want to contemplate.
Right.
Is there an emotional component to all of this as well, the psychological? I see Twyla Stack nodding her head.
Yes, there definitely is. And I think men do look at it differently from women. And do keep in mind that spousal impoverishment protection law will allow income and resources for the spouse at home while the other one is on Medicaid in an institution. And there's always Medicaid as the safety net program, but people really don't want to do that either, nor do they want to be a burden to their children. That's one of the main things people say, and I can understand that.
Elizabeth, I think you'd indicated you had a second question as well.
Well, okay, actually that was my first question that segued into the crystal ball issue.
Okay.
But the first question was, is it too late? Because you've been talking about 40 years old and 55 years old and this and that and the other thing, and so it's like, well, we're already 65, then what?
Teresa Egan, yeah.
Thank you. As long as you have health qualification, I don't know that, I mean, definitely there is a point in time when it is too late. People in their 80s, it's impossible, or companies don't offer coverage. But if you have health qualification, then maybe there is, you know, something that you can put together, something meaningful. By some numbers that I ran, for age 65, you might be looking at, you know, probably over $3,000 a piece. But when we consider that cost of care right now is high $70,000 a year, generally.
It's cheaper than obviously paying for all of it out of
But it, but it can be hard.
Pocket.
And part of it's because people aren't conditioned yet. This is new to everybody. It's new to everybody.
Yeah. Well, and part of it, obviously, is with life expectancies. You know, now it's pretty much the norm that people live into their 80s and 90s. So it is a different thing. Elizabeth, thank you very much for the call.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope we answered your questions.
Yeah, it's like
good.
Kicking over a stone, though. I've got, you know, 100 more, but I've got phone numbers here, so.
It's going to be your decision.
Could I ask Rebecca Vaughn's email address? I think it's
one more time, Rebecca.
Yes,
it
sure.
Sounds like you're going to get an email from Elizabeth.
R. Vaughn, and Vaughn is V as in Victor, A-U-G-H-A-N, at I-D-O-I.
I-D-O-I-E-D-O?
Like Indiana Department of Insurance, IDOI, IDEO, .IN.gov, GOV, or 317-232-2187.
Hold on. 317.
Okay.
I'm trying to write this down.
So that's okay. Sorry, real quickly.
317-232-2187.
2187. Well, that'll be just fine.
Thank you very much for the call.
It's been a huge concern for me.
Thank you very much for the call, Elizabeth.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, bye. We've also gotten an email question from a listener named Charles, said, and it's a simple one, should you buy long-term care insurance in Indiana if you may retire and live in another state? Rebecca Vaughn.
Yes, yes, because you have an insurance contract, you have an insurance policy, which is good in any state, just like your car insurance is good in any state. And then also, if you do happen to have a partnership policy, then chances are very good that you still could have some asset protection by moving to another state.
We are talking about long-term care insurance here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Becky, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing very well. Your question, please.
Yes, I was just listening to the last caller, and you kind of answered part of my question, and I guess I have changed my question a little bit because I'm 65 also, and I've had some health issues and have been checking into long-term care regularly for the last 10 years and never seem to qualify. Well, if $30,000 or $3,000 a year is something that is going to be basic coverage, and I'm looking at maybe $70,000 a year for, you know, help if I need long-term care, would it be best at my age and in my situation to maybe just start my own savings account and start putting it away to use? Because, you know, I figure you don't have a crystal ball, but you may live another 10, 15 years. And by that time, you may have enough in savings to just do what you need to do.
Well, Teresa Egan, I'll let you take that one. Thank you for the question, Becky.
Thanks, Becky. You certainly could do that. Having a plan how to pay for your future long-term care is important, having some plan. The thing about long-term care insurance, if you can qualify, and certainly different companies have different underwriting requirements, so that might be something to maybe pursue a little further, at least at some point. But the thing is, if you spend, you know, let's say $3,000 maybe, well, that might immediately give you a benefit of $168,000, depending on how that's put together. I'm just looking at some notes here.
Mm-hmm.
So it would take you a while to be able to save that amount of money. But, you know, because after that first initial premium, then you have that $168,000 plus a growing inflation protection over time. As a benefit. So it's pretty good leverage. I guess that's what you say about insurance, is that it's you pay a certain amount and you get leverage to bigger dollars. But yeah, if you can't get long-term care insurance, then having a plan to save makes sense.
We're talking about long-term care insurance here on No Limits. We've gotten a question from a listener named David. It's actually sort of a point he wants to get clarified. He said he believes that partnership policies are tax deductible, but others aren't. Is that true, Teresa Egan? You're nodding your head. Rebecca Vaughn, I see you nodding mm-hmm. your head as well. That's mm-hmm. yet another plug for partnership policies.
Yes, that's one another consumer benefit with a partnership policy. You do get to take a state tax deduction if you have a partnership long-term care, but not on a traditional. And then on the federal side, for federal taxes, if your policy, regardless whether it's traditional partnership, if it's tax qualified, then you may be able to take a tax deduction as well. But on the state side, only partnership policies qualify.
Teresa Egan, are there other ways that that you might be able to minimize some of the tax consequences of this? Some quick steps?
You know, I'm seeing this more and more often. I don't know if it's the economy, but more and more people have side businesses. You know, they may be W-2 employees, but they may also have a side business, maybe a photography business or you know, some other kind of service business, that if they have a business and they can run their premiums through that business checkbook, then they are more likely to qualify for a federal income tax deduction. And that can really, really help people.
Rebecca Vaughn, yeah. Please.
Also, if you have an HSA account, health savings account, you also can deduct long-term care premiums from that. And that's a pretty common benefit right now.
We have gotten a Facebook question from a listener named Crystal, who says, you're going to like this one, Rebecca, that it took her and her husband more than a year to evaluate long-term care products. They ended up selecting a partnership policy. One of our listeners quoted a number of $200,000 per year for long-term care insurance, which is grossly inflated. We have a policy that will pay for 3 years of care with certain limits of care. While the policy we selected is important, we felt it was necessary, part of our financial planning, and only wish we had selected a plan sooner. The cost was a small fraction of the amount described by your caller. And then it makes an important point that we haven't said yet, and that is the issue is less about preserving assets for an estate than it is about having a choice of care, particularly when one spouse is relatively healthy and the other is not. Teresa Egan, I see you nodding your head there. Is that a point we have not emphasized enough here?
I would totally agree with her. The partnership is so wonderful that it gives us this free gift of asset protection. It's a wonderful gift that we can give to residents of the state of Indiana. But really, the first line of defense here, the most important issue, is how do we pay for care? And if we, the manner in which we choose to pay for our care will have a direct impact on our choices and options and our quality of care down the road. It really is powerful that way.
And then this is the part Rebecca will like. It says, by the way, Rebecca Vaughn sat down with my husband and I and allowed us to pummel her with questions for over an hour. says she is a wonderful resource, and I encourage Indiana citizens to seek her out. You may need to change your phone number,
Rebecca,
since you've given it out here so often. Well, let's assume, and in just the few seconds that we have left here with the program, I've listened to this program. I'm a listener who has been listening, and I'm concerned, and I want to explore options for long-term care insurance. What's the URL I should use, the website again?
You could use www.medicare.in.gov for government, G-O-V, to ask for the packet, which is about long-term care insurance, which will get you started.
And, Rebecca, are you brave enough to throw your phone number out there one more time?
Sure, certainly. 317-232-2187.
And, Teresa Egan, where would you recommend people start?
Well, our website is pretty consumer-friendly with a lot of good consumer information. We're just simply ltcindiana.com. My phone number is 317-782-3222.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I want to say this was a complicated subject. I think you all did a great job of boiling it down and making it understandable for people. I would like to thank my guests, Rebecca Vaughn, who is with the Indiana Long-Term Care Insurance Partnership Program. Rebecca, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Twyla Steck, who is Area Manager for the State Health Insurance Assistance Program. Twyla, it's a pleasure having you here.
Thank you. Pleasure being here.
And Teresa Egan, Long-Term Care Specialist, Agent, and Instructor.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next week, we'll be back with a really hot topic, class basketball in Indiana. I'm John Kroll. Thank you for spending this time with us.
No Limits is a production of WFYI Public Radio, 90.1 FM and HD1. Producer, Sharon Alsip. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each Thursday at 1 p.m. for No Limits, rebroadcast at 8 p.m., and you can listen online at WFYI.org.